Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. Yeah, listen to that. Bobby Brown is here tonight from Being Bobby Brown on Bravo.
Thank you.
10 o'clock Thursday nights. Yes. I was happy to see the premiere last week. I laughed, I cried, I smiled. Bobby told an amusing story about pulling some impacted doo-doo out of Whitney's ass.
I believe the word was turd.
I enjoyed that.
It's a turd.
As a doctor, Drew can probably shed a little light on that at some point. Now, the thing about the show, I guess what people didn't know about you until the show is that you have a pretty good sense of humor about yourself and in general. Am I right?
Yeah, I try to.
I think people think of you as sort of a bad boy.
Yeah,
or did think of you that
they
way.
They did. I believe they did.
Not after last week, though.
No,
not after last week. I'm a punk now.
You know? I mean, nobody.
I'm like a wimp.
He came across as very gregarious and very friendly, and he poked a lot of fun at himself.
I try to.
Have you changed, or is that just a part of you that nobody knew about?
No, that's just me, man. I don't feel like I should change for anything, you know. All my bad has gotten me to where I am right now. All my good has gotten me to where I am right now. So I just try to keep it balanced.
But do you feel like, I mean, I feel like a lot of guys, and we've seen them come through the studio, they had a little extra testosterone coursing through their veins at 25.
Young, yeah.
They had a little chip on their shoulder. If somebody looked at them the wrong way, there could have been trouble.
That wasn't me. No.
That wasn't you.
No, I'm more of a problem finisher, you know. If a problem comes my way, then you know I know how to finish it.
I don't start
no trouble now.
Right.
But if you're gonna bring some beef to me, trust me, I'll give it to you.
The problem is the cops always show up at the finish, not at the start.
Yeah.
It's like the ref in any football game. The guy throws the second punch. He's the guy who gets the flag.
Yeah, yeah.
The guy who's getting the knee in the groin when they're getting off the pile.
No one sees that.
No one sees that. It's when he gets up and throws a punch, and that's when the flag comes out. I'm going to teach that to my kid. Throw the first punch, and then start looking for someone with a badge. Because that's...
And then start pointing.
Yeah, and cry if you can, too.
Cry. Try to do a lot of crying.
So the show is almost surreal. And how many episodes did you guys do?
We shot 300 hours worth of footage. So we're just breaking it all down, and we're going to... the show's on a half an hour, so we're just breaking it down in...
Half an hour? I thought the show was an hour.
Well... Last week was an hour because we showed two episodes.
That's right. All right.
That was the, you know, premiere. So
right.
Tomorrow night, it will just be, you know,
half an hour. And obviously, Bravo's been all over this thing. I mean, it's been pumping the crap out of this, which is nice. And I think Bravo feels like, hey, we got a bona fide celebrity on our network. I mean, normally, a lot of these cable stations have to make celebrities out of people you never heard of. This is probably the first time somebody you heard of is on their station, and they're going insane. And I guess the ratings must have been good.
The ratings was incredible. It shot through the roof. The best in the 25-year history of Bravo. We broke all kind of records, so I'm really proud of that.
And how's Whitney with the whole thing? She seems to have a sense of humor about it, but there are other times it probably gets old.
She just doesn't want me out of the house as much, you know. The only reason why she is on the show is because, you know, I was leaving the house a lot more. Mm-hmm. And she saw me having fun.
Right.
And I don't think she likes me having fun.
Now that's why it's important.
Women
to say
don't like us
miserable.
Having fun. Yeah.
See, guys have to do that.
She sees the tape, though.
I know, but all married guys know when you come home from wherever you were, you have to downplay it, because if they think you're having a good time, then they get angry at you.
Yes. You can't have a good time not being married. No.
No, because the implication is what? You're capable of having a good time without me? And the reality is maybe a better time. I mean, honestly, maybe even better. That's the reality. But, all right, so, and let me ask you this. Everyone seems, does anyone have to work again? I mean, are you guys
in my life? As far as me or my wife?
Yeah, I just mean as a couple. You don't have to break up the money, but I just mean, is everyone set?
We're pretty much set. But, you know, no one can ever, you know, say who's set in that, you know. You never know what's going to happen tomorrow. So.
But you guys...
We love what we do. Right. She loves to sing. I love to sing. I love performing. She loves performing. So we're just happy with entertaining people.
How does it work in the record industry, though? If you guys... Because here's the thing. If we stopped working tonight... We would be in some soup line about this time tomorrow.
You're paid for our labor only.
We the paycheck stops the minute we stop.
Right.
Records, you have royalties coming
royalties
in. You have record
in.
Sales
and
there's stuff. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is you know, you've sold millions.
We're part of the labor force. They're the owners.
Right. We're working in the sweatshop putting the stuff together.
Right.
Between you and Whitney Houston, you've sold enough product. You continue to sell enough product. And then there's the whole part about songs you've written and that whole ASCAP
movies
stuff and
ASCAP.
All that residual stuff. So you really, you're good for life, right?
Life is a long time, you know?
Doesn't have to be.
It has to be. It has to be
nice.
What you make it. I plan on living for a while, so I love. Like I said, I love what I do. So you know, it's no stopping. You know, when you love something,
so you don't have to work. But you
I don't have
work.
To work. I want to.
I saw Bobby on the second episode putting Tuck's medicated pads under his eyes.
Nice.
Try to bring the swelling down.
That was Preparation
H. Preparation
H. A lot of turd talk on the show.
Does that work?
Yeah, it's a lot.
Got to watch the S word.
It's on cable TV.
What about that, Drew? Does that work?
I don't know.
Well, why don't you? You're a doctor. Shouldn't you know that?
Whether a Preparation H... Well, Preparation H is soothing anti-inflammatory, so any swollen tissue, it might bring down a bit.
Will you get bags in your eyes if you're out late or drinking or something like that?
Some people do,
I do.
All right.
Yeah.
What can we look... And what about the impacted turd? How did that work?
I don't know why that's so special to everybody, that whole thing, you know.
Well, I'm a turd man.
Put fingers up. It was...
See, I love my wife.
It was all in the moment.
Not that much.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, she was in pain. If your wife's in pain, you will do anything to help her, right?
So it was an emergency.
Right.
It was an emergency.
Yeah, Adam would slip the glove on, though, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I would put an oven mitten on. I mean, maybe a catcher's mitt.
But you'd run. It's just a manual disimpaction. It's just a little...
How do you get that out of there, Drew?
You have to break it up.
You break it up. But she's got hands, right?
No,
you can't reach.
She can't reach.
Oh, really? Really?
Oh, yeah.
You
got to
do things.
You've gone up?
Well, I've had to manually disinfect lots of people over the years.
Oh, really?
And sometimes
but
you have
not
to go.
Family.
You have to go with two and bring it all down.
Spelunking.
Absolutely.
Wow.
It's painful for people. It hurts.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Listen, it's tough on everybody.
I had one pass out while I was doing that to her, poor thing. So,
really? Mm-hmm. Maybe she liked it.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Now, how does that happen? What does she do? She eat too much Mexican?
I don't know what happened. Guess she was constipated, whatever, you know, and... Mm-hmm. Things wouldn't... Excuse my French. It just wouldn't come out, and...
Here's the thing. You sell that baby on eBay, you probably probably make some good money.
What?
Whitney's impacted poo.
No.
I'm just saying you give the money to charity. I'm not saying what you do with the money, but I'm just saying that's a good eBay item right there. You'd have to certify it.
You'd have to find it first.
I think I can find it. Wow. That's love. That's love.
Yeah, that's love.
Yeah. Yeah, my wife, really, we were watching it, and she gave me that. You wouldn't do that.
Makes sense.
Right,
look
I wouldn't
bad.
Do that. Yeah.
Well, she's older, a lot older. You'll be, that's some of your excuse the expression, duty.
Now, my whole plan is to make enough money to hire somebody to do that.
Yeah, that's true. You might.
Yeah.
You want someone else putting their fingers up your wife's...
See, it's one of those calls.
Okay.
It's tough. Like, on one hand, you don't want another guy doing it. On the other hand, you don't want to do it. And that's why you have to pick just a crazy nationality to do it. Because right. if a guy doesn't speak good English,
well,
it doesn't really count.
Should be a guy. Shouldn't be a guy.
Oh, yeah. No.
It should be a woman.
It should be a woman. Just like all the women. Yeah, big woman. Yeah.
Big
and
woman.
A crazy nationality.
Mustache. The one that would do the colonics.
Yeah, you know all the women who work at the bikini waxing places, crazy Asian women? Who cares? They're not going to say anything. And if they did, you wouldn't understand them anyway. You know what I mean? That's the kind of person you want working on your wife. Vagina, ass, all the parts, you want a crazy Asian woman. Okay? Let's work on that.
Right.
All right, let's go.
Well, next time I'll think of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Call Adam. Just call me.
I'll get her over. I know where to get my information from now.
We actually set it all up for you. Send them over a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. How are the kids doing? How many kids do you have? Four?
I have four kids. My oldest is 19. He's sitting inside the room in there.
Oh, really? Now, is he on the... I didn't see him on the show.
Well, he wasn't on the first episode, but he will be on the next few.
Oh, he will?
Yeah.
It's not going to be like the lost Osborne kid who never
showed up.
He's going to be on there.
No, he's on there.
Oh, good.
He's in the process of recording his album right now, so I'm really proud of him. I'm really, really proud of him.
Then are you shepherding him through that process? You showing him the ropes?
I can only show him what I know, you know, and that's what I know.
But that's a fair amount. I mean, you've been through the process, and you started. How old were you when
When I started, I was 13.
Whoa.
How did that work?
I'm 36 now.
I mean, how do you get started? Like, I think everyone wants to do something at 13, but they can't do it. They don't do it.
I was determined to get out of the projects. I know that. I knew I...
But so is everybody who's in the project. How did you do it?
just working hard at what I did, you know?
Well, where did you sing?
I used to do talent shows any and everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And, starting at what age?
Starting at age 11, I started doing talent shows.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a big show.
Was one of your parents behind it? Was she or he track you around?
My mom used to sing, but, you know,
I had to sneak to
go.
Really?
Yeah, because it was on Sundays, and I was supposed to be in church.
Right.
But I would rather go down to downtown where, you know, where all the grown people were, and, you know, I would put my little cardboard box out there and break dance and...
Oh, really?
Put my cup out there and...
So you were a street performer.
I was a street performer for a long time.
And then how did New Edition get started?
Well, I did one talent show, and for Mari Starr, it was called Hollywood Talent Night, and he told me that it would look better if I had four guys dancing behind me.
Mm-hmm.
I was singing,
right?
So, you know, the next week I came back with four guys and
just neighbors,
guys,
friends,
you just went
just
out
neighbors,
town?
Just friends.
Wow,
yeah, I was the popular guy for performing.
Right.
Michael Bivens was popular for playing basketball. Ricky and Ralph, they wasn't really popular. But,
well, not then. They were
available that night.
Yeah, they could dance.
Yeah, if they were popular, maybe they wouldn't want to join your band and dance behind you. Screw off. I'm popular.
Anyway, they all joined me. Mm-hmm. And, we did the big talent show, which was Hollywood Talent Night.
Did you cover a song?
We covered the Jacksons.
I Want You Back.
No.
No.
We did the whole medley.
Really? You did a medley?
We did a medley of the Jackson stuff.
They don't do the medleys anymore.
No.
That's a nice fruit salad of song.
Yeah.
It's got a little something of everything.
That's right.
Just the good parts.
That's right.
Well, the only thing about a medley it's tough is once in a while you do hear that one song you really dig, and then they stop 10 seconds into it, you're pissed off. We did a Jackson medley, and did they do the spin and everything where they come down with the hands?
We did everything.
And you were up front singing, but...
But you pulled that together a week?
We pulled it together in a week. We only rehearsed one day for the talent show.
Oh, my gosh.
Back in the days, you could call a step out. You can call a dance out.
Mm-hmm.
And if everybody knows that dance, we all did it together.
Uh-huh.
So that's what we was doing.
And could these guys sing and everything?
I don't know if we still can sing.
Well, you can sing.
I still work at it. I'm married to one of the greatest singers in the world, so
yeah.
I'm constantly rehearsing.
Yeah, well, let me ask you about that. Whitney Houston obviously just God-given pipes. I mean, you just don't. I don't know, one out of every billion people has pipes like that. But how much practice does she have to do, or did she have to do? You know what I mean?
I think, like you said, it's God-given.
Yeah.
That lady wakes up in the morning. She sleeps humming.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, you said she snored, actually.
She does that, too.
to a tune, though.
Yeah. I'm talking loud.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But right before that, she's humming, so,
right.
You know.
She just got it in her.
Yeah, it's like,
right.
You know, how can you... You're not love a person like that, you know what I mean?
I'm in love, but I just mean, it just seems like her gift is so natural. There's nothing even
cultivated about it. She sounds trained to me.
Well,
she sounds trained. I think she's trained by her mom.
But I mean, she must have started singing at a pretty young age and really.
Has been singing.
Or mom is a gospel singer, right?
Yeah, I mean, she's a musician. She's a singer. I mean, it's all trained.
That's why white people can't sing that well, because there's no gospel music. Because your mom.
That's not true.
Yeah, your mom sung a little country or bluegrass or something. That just makes you can yodel. Big deal. black people that grow up, they're in the choir. They're singing. They're clapping their hands. They're beating a tambourine.
Too.
They're doing all these five part things. Yeah. White people, we don't do anything. We don't sing. We just watch. You know, that's our thing.
You guys dance really well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we're awesome at that.
You used to see Adam.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. All right. We got a question for Bobby.
Okay.
And that is Matthew, 17. Matthew?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's happening?
I wanted to ask Bobby about if he's still working with Murder, Inc. or not.
Murder, Inc.
Am I still working with Murder, Inc.?
Because I know you did a song with Ja Rule and all them, and I haven't heard anything with you and Ja Rule in a while. I want to know if you're still working with them.
Well, I just did that one song with Ja Rule. Murder, Inc. was trying to sign me, and I'm very expensive. Well, I treat myself very expensive.
Well, you got a lot of FU money, you know, as we like to say in the business. You got a lot of money. You're not desperate. You ain't in the project.
They didn't come
anymore
with the right numbers, so I just didn't follow up with it. But I would love to work with Ja Rule and, you know, few of the Murder, Inc. artists, if, you know.
Do you want to use the show and the new found celebrity or a newly refound celebrity to, you know, make a big appearance in the music industry? I mean, you're looking to do that?
Music is my life. I'll forever be a part of music. But I do have a new album coming out soon. So, it's not something that, you know, I planned, you know, to put my album out after, you know,
the show.
The show.
Yeah.
Anything like that.
When is it coming out?
That's up to my brother. I keep recording. I record all the time. So,
do you have a recording studio in your house?
Yes, I do. So that's
not around.
I'm just jealous.
You want to have one too?
Why?
I like the idea of having a recording studio in your house.
The mic and stuff.
Okay, but after a couple of years, I'd have like 80 hours of farts. It'd be funny.
It'd be funny.
Hold on. Who are we talking to, Drew? Rhea. Rhea.
Hello.
You're 22.
Yes.
What's up?
I haven't really had a relationship from, like, my whole life. I mean, I've never been on a date or anything, and I don't really have any friends. I don't really, like, know anybody that I could possibly date in the first place. And even if I did, I wouldn't really know how to cope with that.
Really?
Do you live in, like, a town of 30 or something? Or
no.
What are you, ugly? I don't get it.
Please, Bobby. She's fat.
She must be. Are you fat?
No.
No.
Rhea, she's calling from Wisconsin.
Who is it?
Do you have folks that are, you know, religious or overprotective?
No.
Nothing like that?
Why do you live in a bubble?
I've been depressed my whole life. So I've, like, been in and out of hospitals when I was in high school. And I've just, like, come out of a long run of an eating disorder. I have an eating disorder, so...
Right. So you have a personality disorder too, right?
Yeah, I have a
borderline.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So you have borderline personality disorder, part of being borderline is chaos and lack of difficulty to sustain, lack of a capacity to sustain relationships.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of that disorder. So really, it's about what's going on in you, not what's going on in your environment. And so if that's really going to get better, that would require a lot of psychotherapy. Are you doing work with somebody?
Yeah.
You are.
Uh-huh.
All right.
And here's the thing. If you get your trouble sorted out, so to speak, you should be able to start dating. Also, you got out of the dating gates, you tripped, you stumbled, and sometimes it's hard to regain your stride.
Sure.
I mean, here's the whole thing. I got a theory, which is somewhere between like 14 and 17, if you don't sort of figure dating out, you can be screwed up for a good 10 years after that.
Huh.
Even if you're not actually screwed up, you just look in the mirror and see someone who's not attractive or not desired by others or a loser. Bobby wouldn't know because he sold, you know, billion records by the time he's 13 and a half.
Yeah.
But I just mean, when you sort of, you know, you see these people later on in life, they're attractive, they have good jobs, and they still can't seem to make any headway with the opposite sex. They're their own worst enemy.
I agree with you to a certain extent, but I would go further to say that there's a reason they weren't dating up to 20, and that had more to do with why they still aren't dating than the fact that they didn't date.
Right.
This, like in this Rhea's case, she had a significant. She's a trauma survivor too. She almost must be.
All right.
So Rhea.
Rhea, any trauma in your past?
My dad was alcoholic.
All right. Was he abusive physically or something?
My mother.
Your mother was physically.
My
abusive.
Stepmother.
Yeah, so okay. And plus, where's your biological mother?
I live with her, so.
All right. Your stepmom was abusive, though, and your dad was an alcoholic?
My dad was abusive to my stepmother.
Oh, I see. I had to watch that. That's horrifying. All right, and I'll screw you up with men, too.
Yeah.
Seeing your dad beat on somebody.
Yeah, he's beating her. Oh,
my God.
Oh.
Yeah. All right.
He's a bad guy.
So, Rhea, here's the deal.
Not everyone is your dad, first of all.
Yeah. Stick with your therapy.
Take baby steps. Look at it as sort of a project or a job. You got to go out. You got to find the right position, meaning person who's, you know, somebody that's stable and somebody you can enjoy being around. And go ahead and start chipping away at it. Learn how to do this.
But don't just label yourself as someone who can't date or who will never date or any of that stuff. You go out, you go to a club, and you see someone. They don't know that you've had the problems that you've had.
Right.
Well, don't be so quick to tell them.
Right.
Don't be so quick to judge either.
More mystery, less history.
Right. But I think a lot of people who are bad at dating or who have a tough past with dating are very quick to sabotage themselves when they go out.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
Just pretend like you're someone who's had success.
Act as if.
Well, like, I know there were guys who I remember from, like, junior high and high school that were very successful with women, like, at 15 and 16. And
with women.
With the ladies. With women. Yeah. No, and then later on, they're 35, they're bald, they're fat, and they got a job at a tuna factory, and they still think they're Rico Suave.
Right.
It's burned. It's burned. Here's a guy with a sizable gut, and he's making $9 an hour, and he's talking about, how many models he can bang. Right.
Yeah.
Now, he has that seared in his brain. That he was, he was the belle of the ball when he was in the 10th grade, and that's seared in his brain. And then the other guy who's got the good job, who's good looking, who was a late bloomer, has that sort of awkward guy seared into his brain.
Right. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. That's why I'm getting my son a whore. If he doesn't get laid by 14 and a half, 15, I'm going to get him a prostitute, get him some confidence.
You know what I mean? Choice, too, so he feels like he's the pick.
No, I'm not going to say...
They're fighting over him.
No, yeah, and here's what I'm going to do, too. And, Bobby, listen up, because I know you have the 19-year-old son.
Yes.
Oh, he's listening.
It's a little late for him, but I'm sure he does fine for himself in that department. But you have a younger son, too,
I have a 14-year-old.
All right, couple of things.
Taking notes, Bobby.
Couple things with the kids. Notes. Drew made this mistake. He didn't. I'm going to do it.
I didn't get a prostitute for my 12-year-old.
No, a couple things. Oh. You didn't show your kids your penis by mistake.
Oh, yeah.
So they think dad has a huge penis. Mm. That's my move.
Okay.
Now listen to this move, Bobby.
Well, explain that.
It's a little late, but it's a little late because your kids are a little old, but here's my move. Everybody I know, I realized, every guy I know thinks his dad has a huge penis. And the reason they all say, oh, man, no, my dad's huge, is because they saw it one time when they were 5 and a half. And, of course, everything's huge. When you're, a kiddie pool's an Olympic-sized pool when you're 5 and a half, right? And so here's the way it works.
And then you put it away.
And you put it. They never see it again. So here's the way it works. You come now. You got to do it casually. You go in the shower. You come out. You get just a, you know, you don't get an erection. That'd be grotesque. But you do get a little blood circulating down there just to fill things out just a little bit. And then you come innocently walking out of the shower. You know why? You know, with the towel on your head. Give the kid a quick glimpse and then cover up. They'll never see it again. Right when the kid's about waist height. Right about that height. And then for the rest of his life, it's like, oh, no, man. No, my dad. No, you don't understand. He is huge because it just gets burned into their brain that way.
I have no problems with that.
No, that's a good call. Yeah. And then it'll be cool.
No, he means he doesn't need to.
Oh, he doesn't need to do that. Okay.
I was kind of thinking the same thing.
I need to do
right
that. But
okay.
I'm just saying it's cool, too, when... You know, the guy gets into junior high and high school, and his friends, who he's been bragging to, start coming by the house. Hey, Mr. B, what's your, hey? That should give you a high five. You don't even know why. Like, yeah. And they're giggling and laughing. You know what I mean?
Because you're a big guy.
Yeah, they like that.
Mr. Big Guy.
So that's number one. And then number two, you got to get the kid a prostitute when he's about 15, but you can't present it. You have to act like he went out and got it himself.
No, you gotta make it like somebody just came after him.
So oh, yeah.
She's so attractive.
Yeah,
that she
yeah but make
she's attracted to him.
Yeah, yeah.
Make him do a little
bit
of...
You got a woman attracted to
him. Look at her. But make him do a little bit of work, like when they feed an animal in the cage, they shake it around a little to get him to pounce on it.
Sure.
Make him think the drumstick's alive.
Right.
You know what I mean? You got to shake her around a little bit. Let him, you know, get his instincts going. Bobby Brown is in studio tonight. Being Bobby Brown, name of the show on Bravo, Thursday nights, 10 o'clock. I saw the first two installments. Loved it. We'll take a quick break. Be right back. Oh, also, Bobby's on Jimmy Kimmel Live
tonight,
everybody.
Yes.
We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. That's Bobby
and
McFerrin in the background. Bobby Brown. In the background. You know, that song came out during a time in my life I was really thinking about killing myself, and it made it worse. It really did. My girlfriend dumped me, and I remember just trying to listen to that song.
You know,
song
I was dumped at
something.
The same time.
Were you?
Yeah.
During the Don't Worry, Be Happy?
Be Happy.
It's amazing somebody didn't kill him for that song.
Don't. Yeah. And then the video with like Robin Williams dancing around. I wanted to kill myself. I was making like $4 an hour. I got dumped. Driving a pickup truck around. And what? But you know, it's how I met Jimmy. Bobby McFerrin.
What?
Bobby McFerrin is how I met Jimmy
How's
Kimmel.
How work at then?
Because Jimmy Kimmel was doing the sports on K-Rock,
right.
The flagship station out here in Los Angeles. And there was a story in probably 94 about Bobby McFerrin getting injured on the ski slopes.
Yeah.
And Jimmy said, black guys don't ski. And Michael, the maintenance man.
I ski.
That's what I'm saying. I was offended.
Uh-huh.
I was offended. He came out and started yelling at Jimmy because he's black, and although he doesn't ski, I think he was defending guys like Bobby who do ski.
I'm from Boston. So.
Next thing you know, there was an argument. Next thing you know, there was a boxing match.
I see. That's
and I was, driving, I was driving my truck, and I was working as a boxing trainer, and I was like, I'm going to train one of these guys to box. That's Bobby
That's
McFerrin.
Really?
Bobby McFerrin.
Wow,
here's the deal. If Bobby McFerrin didn't injure himself on the ski slopes in 1994...
No,
I don't think I'd be here.
No Adam Carolla.
That's right. And if I wasn't here, you wouldn't be here either, Drew.
So I'm glad he got hurt.
Me too.
So Bobby McFerrin's injury, good thing, bad thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing. All right, so it turned out to be fantastic because we didn't have that hit song. Then he wouldn't have mentioned him in the news, and I wouldn't have met Jimmy. But I'm still thinking of killing myself.
Oh.
And speaking of getting dumped, how did you... and a more successful side of that, how did you meet Whitney Houston?
I met Whitney... first, I was in the industry, you know, is who has the biggest song at the time, you know.
Right.
So at the time, I had like the number one album. I was winning all kinds of awards.
What, did you guys meet in like 91?
We met at an award show. I guess she was trying to get my attention because
really?
She kept hitting me in the head. She kept hitting me. I'm sitting down, and you know, she's acting like she doesn't see me, and mm-hmm. she's hitting me in the head.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I think we dated once. Then she invited me to a birthday party, and after that, I saw her for the second time, and I saw a whole total different person. Mm-hmm. You know, I looked in her eyes, and I saw myself, you know. So from that point on, I pursued her like,
he said,
like she was food, man.
No, that's smart.
Like I needed it.
He swore right there one day he was going to pull a dookie out of this woman.
Yeah, I was going to pull some booty.
No, I mean, Whitney Houston, one of the most beautiful women on the planet. And then, you know, normally when you're really good looking, you don't have to do anything else. You know what I mean?
You don't have to sing.
As a woman, when you're smoking hot, you could sing a little.
You don't even have to sing a little.
You don't have to sing a little, but even if you can, you know, even if you're sort of Jessica Simpson or Britney Spears
but they're hot.
Yeah, they're hot and they can sing a little bit. Whitney Houston is smoking hot and can
blow.
That's what I'm saying. She can sing better than the fattest, blackest woman alive. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's amazing.
Yes.
That's it.
Oh, my God. You know, there would have been, you know, if I was like, you know, there's got to be that part when you meet somebody and you're a celebrity, but there's got to be that part where it's, oh, my God, Whitney Houston's into me. I mean, is that what you were thinking?
Well, at the time, I had been dating so many different women.
Here it comes.
I mean, like, hot women.
No, so, I understand.
No.
That was me.
Whitney
talking.
Is definitely the most beautiful woman I've ever dated.
Yeah. I mean,
one of the most beautiful.
You dated other celebrities then?
Yes.
Okay. So wasn't that surreal?
It was surreal to me because, you know, Whitney was Whitney.
I know.
It wasn't like Whitney was Janet Jackson, you know?
No.
You know?
What? No, look, I agree. No, I think Janet Jackson is cute, but she's no Whitney. She's about 4 feet shorter and has had a lot of work done just to get where she's at. Whitney, just got touched by the hand of God.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did. Mm-hmm. Janet's naturally beautiful also.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, all right.
I had fun.
Oh, you dated her.
Who?
I dated
Whitney.
Oh, but Janet, too.
Yeah.
And, oh, man. See, that's the thing. That's why you got to get into music, Drew. You can't. You know, there's nothing. There's no celebrity like music celebrity.
Right.
You know, as far as the ladies go.
Interesting.
You know, I mean, you can be an actor, or you can be an author, you can be an athlete, and that's all good. Any famous is good for women, but the whole music famous thing, rock star, whatever, that's a whole new level.
Yeah,
that's a whole another level.
It's a whole different level.
And
because we have, like, women that chase us.
Yeah. No, you know, I know.
That will actually travel from city to city following us.
I know.
Beautiful women.
I know.
I mean, I'm like ugly ducks.
No.
But
yeah,
beautiful women. And it's incredible.
No.
Get a lot of attention.
Yeah, I know. That's how it goes. I wish someone would have told me that many years ago. I would have picked up the guitar.
Guitar or something.
Something. I can't sing.
You would have break dancing out on the streets in North Hollywood.
Go down to NoHo, put my cardboard box out, open my guitar case, and start my stopping and popping. Locking and stopping and popping. And locking and cracking and
locking. You're rapping already. Look.
Cracking and locking and stopping and popping and locking. That's what I would have been doing,
oh,
Drew.
Oh, man.
Yep. Now I'm going to get
watch
my
out.
Buddies
we're gonna,
together.
We're going to do a song.
Beaches ain't but holes and tricks. Soak on these balls and leak on these. I got the Bacchan like John McEnroe. That beach steps up, I'm smocking the hole. Yeah, that's my Russian rapper. You know?
Who is that?
That's me. That's me doing a little Russian rap.
All right.
Yeah. This fat kid named Tim, I used to be a Catholic big brother too, was a Russian kid, but he loved rap music. So he used to rap like that. It's awesome.
That's awesome. We need to do a track together.
Yeah, I might lay something down. But Adam Carolla's not cheap, I got to tell you.
You got a price.
That's the biggest laugh he's had of the
oh,
night.
Oh, now you're going to charge me.
Well, you know, you got a price, I got a price too. Oren?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
I have a kid, and me and the baby's mama has been together for about 4 years, and the kid's almost about a year. Oh, I take it back, over a year. Her birthday is February 14th.
Mm-hmm.
And every time, in the past 6 months, Every time the thought of sex comes up, like, she just totally avoids it, whether she brings it up or I bring it up.
Your girlfriend?
Yeah.
How old is your girlfriend?
She is 15.
So she got pregnant when she was 13?
No, she got pregnant when she was 14.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
How dare you, Drew? Well, she's very old-fashioned. Yeah.
Wow.
All right. And who's raising this kid?
Well, we live together. Huh? And so...
And who's... Which house? Your parent... Which one of you parent, well, your parents' house?
My mom runs an apartment complex right down the road from where she lives. And we get, you know, cheap rent and stuff.
She's the manager?
Sort of, kind of.
Oh, that is a certain breed, the apartment manager.
It's usually a dude, though, isn't it?
Is she, no, sometimes it's the chick who smokes the brown cigarettes and wears the windbreaker and has the fanny pack. It's a pain in the ass.
But I'm confused. She's a
members only jacket.
Yeah.
What do you do for money, Orin? What do you do for money?
I go to a night school, and I've just been certified for mechanics, and I'm now going for auto body.
Oh,
16. Go ahead, brother.
Wow.
And it's still in high school, but I'm going to a night school, Votech.
Keep your spirits up.
Bobby, wait a minute. You have a 19-year-old. You're 36. Somebody, that means you were a dad at 17?
Yes, I was.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it worked out okay for you, right?
It worked out really good for me.
Well, you're rich.
Mine was
15,
planned.
Right?
Yeah.
Yours was planned?
It was planned, so...
Well, you got to say that. He's in the next room.
All right. No, I ain't got to say that. My son, no.
All right. Planned at 17?
At 17, you know, I was...
Yeah?
To me, 17 was grown. I had been working since I was 13. I had been traveling all around the world.
So you, by 17, you
by
had...
By 17,
you
I thought I was an old damn
bank,
man.
You had cars,
yeah, I had money, cars, houses.
Right.
So it was for me... It was a necessary thing.
Just stop for a second. Adam, houses by 17. Imagine you with a house by 17.
My stepmom made me live in the garage when I was 17. I used to have to take a crap in a decorative popcorn tin because there was no bathroom.
No,
it was a lot of work.
Oh,
it
yeah.
is still a lot of work to right. keep it.
Yeah. So you actually said, I want to have a kid at 17?
Yes, I was in love with his mom, you know, mm-hmm. Malika.
Mm-hmm. Is she still around?
Yes, she is.
You get along okay with
woman.
Her?
Yes, we get along just fine. Mm-hmm. She's married now.
Everything's cool?
Everything's really cool.
And yeah. she wanted to have a kid, too?
Yes, she did.
Wow. And how long, when did you guys break up? Since Whitney Houston hit you in the head?
Nah.
That's when I break up.
It was about 10 years before that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's got to be tough. You know, if you're with a guy and Whitney Houston's hitting on him, you know what I mean? That's a little pressure as a woman.
Whoa.
You know what I'm saying?
If Whitney Houston hits on anybody, it better be me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, now. But this is back then. All right, so what was our advice for this guy?
What was his question?
His girlfriend or
doesn't
didn't
want to
have sex? I don't know. She's 15. You're 16. You've had a kid.
Give us some time.
Yeah.
Give us some time. She just had a baby, and she does not want to have another one.
Also, keep in mind, if she's on birth control at that age, someone may have put her on the Depo-Provera shot. Somebody smart may have done that.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, that will shut young women down sexually. And so they really feel uncomfortable even thinking about sex. And some other birth control pills can do that as well. So if she's on contraception, don't stop it. But talk to the doctor about maybe a different type.
All right. Bobby. You stick around for one more break?
I will. I got you.
God love you. Bobby Brown in studio tonight. Being Bobby Brown, name of the show. Bravo.
Yeah.
Thursday nights.
10 o'clock.
Find out what everyone's talking about or just watch it again, like me, tomorrow night. We'll take a quick break. Also, Jimmy Kimmel Live tonight. Take a quick break. Be back right after this. Hey, everybody. Love line. Drew, knock that off. I'm trying to focus here. Bobby Brown in studio tonight. Being Bobby Brown on Bravo, Thursday nights, 10 o'clock. I saw the first two episodes last Thursday. It was compelling television. And this week, he's going to meet himself the Dalai Lama. I'm not sure what the hell else
me
he's
and
going.
Me and Dalai Lama get into a fight.
Oh,
no
really?
Kidding.
Oh,
I didn't mean to say that. I don't want to let it.
No, that's just enough.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm intrigued.
Now I have to watch.
Yeah,
I know Dalai Lama could fight.
He didn't fight the Dalai Lama.
He actually kicked my ass. So.
He choked him out with that red skirt he wears. Bobby is in studio tonight and also on Jimmy Kimmel Live tonight on ABC. Let's talk to Bobby's going to hang out for one more break with us. Michael?
Yeah, what's going on, guys?
26?
How you doing?
26, yeah. I'm from Pleasanton out here in California.
What's up?
Okay, this is what I was going to ask you guys. I'm 26, you know, I have never had a relationship over, like, 1 month or 2 months. I mean, last time I had a relationship was when I was, like, 16 or 17. Mm-hmm. And that was just to try it. And, like, lately I've been finding out that, you know, I've dated a lot of women, but for some reason once I get to know them, I don't want to have sex with them. Like, the attraction just goes away. Like, the attraction is there the first day or the first night I meet her, and then after that, I just, like, kind of don't even want to have sex with them, even though I could.
The kind of story, what you're basically describing is it's obviously intimacy problems, and what happens is when you're sexually attracted to somebody that you actually have intimate feelings for, you feel somehow as though they've now been spoiled by that, or they're bad, or if they could respond sexually, that would be, like, yuck.
Yeah,
because that's
isn't it just being immature too? I mean, just plain old immaturity.
Yeah, he's 26.
Certain degree. Well, that's 26. What I mean. It's time to knock it off.
But it says
you go out with escorts.
Yeah, well, this is the problem. See, what I do now is, you know, if I could have sex with these women that I meet and date, but I don't want to, so I choose to date. I choose to just see escorts. And
see,
I
that's
see
usually because they feel like women that have sex with them is dirty and bad.
Well, you have to pay the escorts, right?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, it costs money.
were you sexually abused growing up, Michael?
No.
How much does the escort cost? And you get to have sex with them?
Yeah, I mean, it usually runs anywhere from like 150 to 200. And I mean, I do it maybe, like lately I've been doing it a lot. Like today I did it twice. You know, I did it once at like lunchtime and then about a couple hours ago with a different one. And I never see the same one twice. I always see different ones.
Wow.
I go back to the same one. I don't like the same flavor.
Kid's got a motor in him, and at lunchtime, by the way.
At lunchtime,
that's a good. By the way, that's a good job where you have enough money to buy yourself a hooker at lunch, and you have enough time to go see one.
Do you work?
Yeah, I hope so.
It takes a toll on the pockets, but you know, I just.
What do you do for a living? Well, you're worth it, Michael. What do you do for a living?
I'm a real estate agent, so.
Oh, I see.
You know, the money's there.
Right, you're just driving around with all the signs in the back of your car.
Yeah.
Oh boy, I bet you got a great picture on your card. All tan.
But no, the thing white. Is that, like I said, I mean, you know, there's really cute women I've dated, and for some reason, like, you know, once I get to know them, I go out with them a few times.
All right.
I just don't feel that attraction just goes away.
You're not hearing me. You're not hearing me, Michael. This is a common scenario. And again, you sort of have, if somebody can be sexual with you, it sort of spoils thing. You feel like they're dirty or bad in some way by able to be. If you're when you're intimate with them, it makes it impossible to be sexual.
Right.
Those are two separate things for you.
Yeah, I think a lot of guys have
aversion
some of that.
Yes.
In them.
It's really built off envy.
Right.
And when guys have a lot of that, that's a problem.
But you're supposed to get over that at 19. And you're 26.
Yeah, I'm 26.
But
and that's
why...
true what you said, Dr. Drew, because you're right. I kind of look at him differently. You know, I'm like, you know.
Right, but Michael, just listen. Here's the deal. You got to chip away at this. It's not going to happen overnight.
Usually there's some early sexualization
nothing.
That causes
mom,
this.
Nothing.
Mom. What about
your
parents?
What about your mom? What was she doing?
No, I mean, my mom's a great mom, you know. She's,
did you, would you use a lot of pornography when you were little, something?
No, I mean, they're pretty straight, you know. I don't have a dad, you know. He passed away when I was, like, 12, so, you know, my mom...
What happened?
That's pretty heavy.
Well, what happened?
Well, he passed away from surgery, from heart surgery.
What was he having heart surgery for?
You know, he had diabetes and he had cholesterol, so it all built up. And
wow.
It was, like, bypass surgery.
In his 30s? That's kind of young, even for a diabetic.
All right, well, Drew... He's a sick guy. He died. What do you want? All right. You think he's an alcoholic or drug addict? Anything like that, Michael?
Well, I mean, my parents, they never drank or smoked, but I actually do drink a lot. And I mean,
I know. You're describing. You're definitely. See, the sexual addiction that you're describing with the escorts and the compulsivity, it's progressing. Mm-hmm. That's addiction. And that means you've got another chemical addiction going on with that, and that's the alcoholism. But usually, to trigger the sexual addiction, there has to be some sort of. oftentimes some sort of something that puts some power behind it in childhood, some sexual abuse
well,
or something.
Well, here's the thing. The booze is leading to the escorts.
It's all addiction. Yeah, it's all an addictive process. If you really want to do something about this, start going to 12-step meetings and then get a sponsor and check it out.
I wonder what percentage of escorts get called when the John is drunk. I'd say a fair amount.
Mm-hmm.
My buddy once got drunk, decided to call an escort, actually decided to call two escorts. He was that loaded. About 2, 3 in the morning over to his apartment in Santa Monica. The one showed up. He got into an argument with her. She went and got her pimp. The pimp said, I'm going back to the car. I'm getting my shotgun. I'm going to kill you. He took off. My buddy called the cops because he thought the pimp was going to come back and shoot him. And while the cops were there, the second escort showed up. So there's a little knock on the door while he's in there explaining how some guy, I'm sure he didn't say he ordered an escort, but the second chick chewing the gum with the stiletto heels just came over in the middle of the interview with the cops.
Oh, my God.
Which is awesome. Oh. This guy's also a guy whose neighbors called the cops on him because he was listening to punk rock music too loud through headphones.
Oh.
And he just saw the cops because he saw the flashlight coming through the window.
Wow.
Maybe more run-ins with the law than Bobby Brown.
I doubt it.
I doubt it, too. You're right. I'm sorry. That was out of line. Bobby, God bless you for coming in tonight.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Being Bobby Brown, great show on Bravo, 10 o'clock Thursday nights. Come back when the record comes out.
I will. I
come
promise.
Back with your son.
I will.
Come back with everyone.
Mm-hmm. I'll come back with the whole family. I'll bring them all.
All right. Mm-hmm. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after
Again,
this.
Again, thank you for having me.
Yeah. Wow, that's so funny. Who is that? Is that the Gorillaz?
Oh.
I'll tell you, man.
They're geniuses.
I'll tell you, there's a couple of groups that... couple of bands in Loveline history that it's like you belched up something bad whenever you hear their name.
Blur.
Ugh.
Gorillaz.
Ugh.
Black Grape.
The same guy, right?
Black Grape.
Blur and the Gorillaz.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't know that. But that's
same guy.
Ugh.
Damon.
What a pain in the ass. Jesus Christ.
Hi, I'm Murdoch from Gorillaz. You're listening to Loveline.
Please.
With Adam and Drew.
I'm going to kill myself.
Chumbawamba.
Chumbawamba. Those retards.
We liked the Aquabats.
No, we didn't like the Aquabats.
We were charmed by them.
No, here's the problem with the Aquabats. The Aquabats came on this show, and they had to pretend
they were Aquabats.
They were Aquabats, right. And we're like, so any of your parents drank or use illicit drugs? Oh, we're from Aquabatia.
Yeah, what do you mean?
What is this drug you speak of? Yeah. It's like, all right, guys, knock it off. You're 33. Let's go now. And
they wouldn't drop it.
They wouldn't drop it. And if they could pull it off, it would have been fine. But they couldn't pull it off, and they wouldn't drop it. That's a deadly combo, by the way, for everything.
Who else?
Can't pull it off meets won't drop it.
Yeah.
That's a long night.
The darkness.
The darkness.
Yeah.
Oh, those idiots.
Oh, yeah.
Well, at least they basically said
they were honest.
They were honest. Yeah. We don't want to be here.
Right.
They just got up and left. Jerry Cantrell.
Oh.
Jerry Cantrell awesome. What was he in? Alice in Chains?
Yeah.
I had a lovely talk with Jerry Cantrell before the show started. Remember that one? Which was, he's like, I don't want to answer any questions about what's his nose. Who's the lead singer?
I don't remember. The guy that died anyway.
The guy died like 2 weeks earlier. Jerry came on from Alice in Chains 2 months earlier, Anderson?
He had died like months earlier. And you brought it up. You're like, can we talk about this? And he freaked. He started crying. And then he came into this studio, and he was smoking a cigarette, drinking a beer, and crying. And I'm like, dude, you can't be in here.
Well, I didn't bring it up and say, can we? I just said, he said, no questions about this. And I said, well, you know, we really can't control what people are going to ask. Because people will call in and say, I got a wart on my ass, and then they'll ask about your lead singer who died.
Right.
So he's like, well, you have to. And I was like, I got no control over that. And he's like, well, then I can't do the show. And to me, that's like when the school says, we got to close it down for earthquake damage. I'm like, oh, thank Christ. You mean someone's leaving? This is awesome.
Whatever,
I'm
going
to sit here and talk to Jerry Cantrell for 2 hours. So I was like, you got to leave? And he's like, well, I do. And I was like, There Fantastic. You go. We'll see you later. Yeah. And he was like, naturally, he was like, well, maybe I could stay. And I was like, no, don't. And I just tried my best to get him to leave, which is, look, I can't promise you that these questions aren't going to come up. So if you're uncomfortable about it, and I understand that, and I respect it, no hard feelings.
Sign off.
Pack it up and leave right now. No problem. No regrets. No hard feelings. And he was like, all right, I'll stay.
Remember when Maxie Priest freaked out on me?
I wasn't here when Maxie Priest freaked out on you. Thank Christ.
That was good times.
I do remember also when one of the members of a band decided to walk back to the
Purple
hotel drunk.
Sneaker Pimps.
The Sneaker Pimps
yes.
decided to walk back to the hotel drunk and got lost.
Well, his hotel was 18 miles away. He started walking through Culver City.
He got an argument with you and the rest of the band during a commercial break.
Right.
And the band was yelling at him, he's a doctor, shut up! And he just got mad and stormed out. Were they English, too? Here's the deal with the English bands. They come in and get drunk, and then they get surly, and then they get angry, and then they split.
Right.
It's awesome.
Right.
It's all right.
It's a good pattern.
Drew, maybe we're not good hosts.
Maybe we're too good.
Ooh.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, high five.
Yeah.
Ooh, maybe. Yeah. I don't know if we're too good. What's it
tell you? Wait, I got to get people to
the
watch.
Only guys we get along with is the Insane Clown Posse.
Oh, yeah.
Those David Allen Greer.
I want to hear
the only weight I lift is my own, my big fat ass every day when I wake up. That was pretty good. My fat ass. Oh, my God. Hey, play that again.
Gotta love those guys.
Where
have they been?
Oh, I don't know, but a pox on all those horrible bands that were such a pompous pain in the ass. Thank God you guys are all nowhere anyway. No one here, Chumbawamba. Idiots. Oh, what a pain in the ass they were. Gwen Stefani put a curse on her career, and who's ever heard of her again? That was a good 9 years ago. What happened to her? Probably slinging hash at some Denny's out in Conejo.
She got mad at you for saying Indian. Woo-woo-woo.
Oh, please. Everybody. All right. Drew, how come I never get insulted? I just get angry.
You get angry, though, yeah.
But I don't get insulted.
No.
Everyone's such a pain in the ass. Like, their ass doesn't stink.
Yeah.
These bands up on their high horses. Bobby Brown came in here. He's perfectly nice. Got a good sense of humor.
Yep.
I'm joking with him about digging Dookie out of his wife's ass. He's having a good laugh about it. He's not uptight.
I know.
Please, everybody, relax a little bit. I hate that. And to me, worst quality in a person that doesn't have any sense of humor about themselves.
Right.
It's a form of narcissism, I would think.
Yes.
They just somehow the rules are different for them. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
The world is your oyster. I mean, because that's all the world is. See, Anderson wonders why I hate him, by the way.
No, no, see, he
really wants to know why
the point
we don't
is,
hang out.
He's trying to make fun. You don't have a sense of humor.
Right.
There you go.
No, I know, but he played that drop 28 times in
yesterday.
The last 4 days.
It's good times.
He loves it. Maya?
Maya?
Yeah.
Which one is it?
Maya.
Maya. All right.
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay.
And that, by the way, I said that not to correct it, but I know our listeners, and if you don't say their exact name, they'll just sit there quietly and not answer.
All right. What's up? You're 17.
Yeah, okay. Well, first of all, I love your attack crow theory.
Mm.
I've been working up other... Oh, my God. It's just... Yeah, you can't beat it. Anyways.
Yeah.
So my
security
question
is... detail of attack crows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's just awesome.
It is. They're mean. They're black. They got big talons. And they're smart.
And they will poke out people's eye jelly.
Oh, look.
Nice.
I don't care. Here's my thing about my attack crows. I don't care if you're 6'5 and you're 370 pounds of pure steel and you're the world's octagon free fighting champion of the world. Four of these crows come at your head, you start running, flailing like a schoolgirl.
And by the way, you're affected the same way as a 15-year-old.
It doesn't matter. When my attack crows come at your head, all the black belts, all the taekwondo, all the street fighting, all the knives, all the weapons, nunchucks. I don't care if you're a goddamn ninja. Five of my attack crows come at your head, you're running.
Mm-hmm.
You do nothing but looking for cover.
Yep.
That's it. Mm-hmm. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Mr. T or Little Lord Fauntleroy. Attack crows come at your head, all you can do is flail and run and drop whatever's in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
making all that noise, wings flapping in your ears. Okay.
As yeah, big poke out the eye jelly.
Oh, just coming. That's right. Train them. Go right for the eyes and the eardrums and the nut sack. Yeah, I send one to the sack.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Raven. Ironically named Raven. He's the squad leader. He goes for the sack. The other four go for the head.
Perfect.
You can't. What do you do? They're
duck,
mean.
Duck and roll.
Duck and roll. Genius, I tell you.
So, Maya, what's the question?
Okay, so my question is, if I don't have sex with someone I'm dating within, like, the first week, I lose all physical attraction to them, even if I'm, like, attracted to them, like, all the way when I first start going out with them, you know? Like, I can't get enough of them. If I don't have sex within, like, the first week, I lose all interest in them.
What happens when you do have sex with them?
If I do, we go steady for a while until or anything.
Oh, please. Maya. Remember how we told Bobby Brown he couldn't use the S word on the air?
Yeah.
He's a celebrity, and we told him he couldn't.
Right.
You're a peon. People don't use peon enough anymore, by the way.
Bring that back.
I like to bring peon back as well as
humor.
Sensual.
Oh, no, no, no. That's the first time you've brought something up, suggested something. I'm saying no.
You know what I decided? If you see the word sensual on someone's, like, computer dating, if you see it on their bio, run.
Yeah.
Sensual means over 40, fat ass, and big jugs. Sensual means gives great oral, but huge ass. When you hear a woman, no hot 19-year-old describes herself as sensual.
No.
You got to get fat, you got to get old, or erotic. That's bad times.
Yeah.
That means good oral, but big ass, and 42-plus. In the age department.
Oh, yeah.
There's no 23-year-old woman that describes herself as sensual.
No.
You don't have to describe yourself as anything when you're young and you're hot. You know what I mean?
You just describe yourself.
Yeah, it's like, here I am. Come and get it. You're just a meal. You don't need a billboard. Right?
Right.
I'm a sensual woman. Oh, sensual woman means used to be a dude.
Could be.
Could possibly be a dude. Mm-hmm. You stay away from sensual. Maya? Do you consider yourself a sensual woman?
Well, I'm not over 40. I don't have huge jugs, and I'm not floppy and fat, so I guess not.
Okay, good.
Now, again, so you have sex, then you get chaotic relationships going, and then you go on to the next guy.
Yeah.
So either way, you find a way to sabotage the relationship and prevent real intimacy from developing.
Every single time, even if, like, before we end up going out, I'm, like, completely head over heels. It's just, like, I don't know how I just stop liking them.
All right. Well, no, look, three quarters of this is normal chick 17-year-old.
Yes, about a third, really. But the fact is she finds a way to avoid intimacy. She either avoids intimacy by not proceeding with the relationship or sabotaging, creating chaos after she does get some sort of physical relationship.
Where's your dad?
Oh, well, I've never lived with him.
You never lived with him.
What happened? No. Why did he take off?
Well, my mom and my dad weren't married when they had me.
Right.
And so he just split. They had their own problems, joined the army, and now he lives in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. So that's a serious intimacy issue there.
Right. How were the other men that came through with mom?
Not many, but her new boyfriend is currently incarcerated.
Uh-huh.
Mm. All right. What did he do?
He pimping and pandering, and he totaled the car. He stole our car and totaled it.
Pimping?
Pimping and pandering.
Yeah.
That's basically, he was driving around with someone that was, I don't know, a prostitute or something?
Yeah, or something. Yeah.
That's pimping. Isn't that the pimping part? That's the pandering part. I think they just put pandering on there because of the alliteration. It sounds,
good.
It must have been it.
So he was a pimp?
No, he wasn't a pimp. He just had a prostitute in the car. I don't know. He was high and he drove into a wall.
Well, first off, he's Jew or Asian? Because I'm never wrong about this. Japanese guy or Jew? Which is it? It's got to be one or the other.
No.
He's incarcerated. He got high, drove into a wall. He had a hooker in the car. Which one? Which one is it? Pimping, pandering? When I hear pimp, I think Jew. When I hear pandering, I think Asian.
Just like a panda bear.
Yeah.
I hate to, hurt your spirits, but
I'm never
African.
Wrong. What's that?
He's African-American.
Oh, my. You know what? See, that's why you can't stereotype. Because you hear pimp, and you think Jew. And you immediately go to Jew, and if somebody says, well, he's not a Jew, you go, well, okay, well, what part of Osaka is the guy from? You know, you go Japanese.
By the way, don't they have pimps in Osaka?
They're black.
Oh.
They have to import. Come on, Drew. You are not racially sensitive at all. The point is you can't stereotype because this guy turns out to be the only black pimp.
Ah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So in the United States.
Yeah, you're thinking Jew.
You think in Japan, those, of course, they're
I really don't know that culture, Drew, and I'm not willing to judge like you are. But my point is you hear pimp, you hear pander, you think Jew. Hmm. And it turns out that guy is of African-American descent. Hmm. So that's why I don't judge.
He could be Jewish.
I cannot judge because
no, he could be Jewish.
But do you see what happens when you stereotype? You're usually wrong.
You stereotype, assuming all Jewish people are white.
You know what, Drew? Enough, because I'm starting to get offended.
Okay.
Maya?
Yo.
Look, baby doll, you're smart, right?
Oh, well, yes.
Okay, so here's the thing. You have issues with men. You have issues with daddy.
You can't be intimate with anybody.
You
slow
can't be
it
intimate.
Down.
Just reel it in. Why? You know what I mean?
You're going to get pregnant. You're going to get a disease. It's going to be a mess.
I know, because I'm on the pill.
All right,
then
but
you get a disease.
Okay, let me explain something to everybody. It's an interesting concept. And now I'm a little bit older, and I see my friends, and I see how it goes. There's this weird thing, and part of it is sort of psychological about your, but part of it is physical too. Your body is almost a part that wears out, and while it's important to move and it's important to exercise, the folks that just sort of treat their body like almost like they treat your vagina like it's a punching bag. You
right.
know what I mean?
Speed
the,
bag.
Yeah, the guys that are just the guys that are just out, you know, just I know these guys and they're getting older now, and now you're starting to see the mileage on them, and I know I do my car analogies, but you get a new car, you can do whatever you want with it for the first 50,000 miles, doesn't matter, nothing will go wrong, but then look out.
Yeah.
Stuff just starts going wrong, and I know it sounds like I'm making a physical metaphor here, but the Mayas of the world, we see these women that are 22 and they just look haggard.
Right.
They just, and it's not because they've been in the sun too much, and it's
or
not because
the
of their do whatever. It's just what they've seen. You know, the bags
their
under
soul,
their eyes
yeah.
at 22.
Yeah.
I mean, you sort of age yourself prematurely by having the life of a 40-year-old when you're 16.
Yep, that's true.
Just stop it. Just you know, get a Hello Kitty sticker, put it on your peachy folder, and go to school, and just start hanging around with young girls and having young girl problems. Stop doing this.
Yes.
You're going to be pregnant at 18. You're
She's
going to
on
have
birth control, so let's give her that.
Good. You're going to get hooked up with some abusive guy,
yes,
and it's
get,
just like,
right.
you just see these people. They're in their early 20s. They should look like college students, and they just look like burnt out sort of hillbillies.
Right. And
yes?
then, of course, the drugs and the speed and everything does that, too.
Right. Sunblasted. Wow. Mm-hmm. Black pimp.
Can you imagine that?
You see what? Never. That's why... I just, you know, I won't.
Open your mind, Adam.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's why you can't judge a book by the cover. You just can't.
Math 27.
Although if there's like a nude chick on it, it's usually a safer bet than like some weird calligraphy.
Yeah.
Matt?
Yeah.
And by the way, can't judge a book by its cover has got to be the worst goddamn cliche ever, because
why?
That's all you got.
The cover? Oh, you mean it's, yes.
You judge everybody and everything by what it... It's like saying, again, with the car, it's like saying, well, just because the thing's all rusted out and beat up and scratched up and dented up on the outside doesn't mean it doesn't have a great engine. Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, it does.
Right. Maybe the modification should be, you can't always judge a book by its cover.
You'd have a better life judging books
was.
By their cover.
Probably what it originally was, by the way. It probably originally was. You can't always judge a book by its cover.
I'm going to tell my kid, look, go out and judge all books by their cover, and you'll be wrong 1 out of 100 times. Better than keeping an open mind and having some guy stab you because you refuse to judge.
Right.
Please, everyone, judge. Matt?
Yeah.
27?
Yeah.
What's
my
up?
Question's for Dr. Drew. Yeah, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can tell how much it's going to cost. I got a problem, man.
That's one of those things that seems clever, but it really doesn't mean anything.
Right.
But we're going along with it.
All right, go ahead, Matt.
If this was a TV talk show, we'd both be laughing our asses off.
Yeah.
And then plug in your book.
I have a problem with sex. It's taken me like 3 hours to finish.
Always been that way?
Nope. Ever since I came back from Iraq, it's been an ordeal.
Mm.
Do you think you're having some sort of like...
Now, are you just visiting Iraq or are you in the military?
I was in the Army. I was over there for a year.
I guess just go over there just to see the country and the people.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful people. Great. Warm.
He's visiting some resorts there.
Awesome. Were you just playing some golf or are you actually in the military? Okay.
Are you on any medication?
They had me on Trazodone for a little bit, but...
Nothing now.
Nothing now. Nothing. And it's... I've been back for 4 months, man, and it's not going back to normal.
Is that a diesel truck in the background?
Yeah, this is my work truck.
Okay. Well, why don't you shut it down? You're killing the ozone, bro.
Driving.
Oh, it's diesel, man. It's worse to start it up and stop it than it is to...
No. I'll tell you, I saw a whole report on, guys keep their diesel engines running because they run the power and the air conditioning, and they just sit in these truck stops overnight and have these things run for hours. Yeah. Beats the crap out of the environment and the engine.
All right, well, I shut it off, so...
All right, buddy. Sorry. I didn't mean to get preachy.
He's in Arizona. It's probably 115 degrees there, for God's sakes.
So they find him in his truck tomorrow morning. All right, so what's the theory, though, with the military? Do you think it's the things you saw? Do you think it's a psychological thing?
No,
do you think
I should be fine, man, but...
Or do you think you're
wondering if the anthrax they gave us could have an effect.
Right, just like the Gulf War syndrome. The guys that were coming back from that, whatever that was, and there's lots of debate about that, had these kinds of symptoms where they had no sex drive, the sperm counts dropped out.
Boner's the first thing that goes.
When you're not well, yeah.
No, that's good.
The boner's good.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, but you can't ejaculate.
Mm-hmm.
I can't shoot.
What? Speaking of shooting, what did you do over there in Iraq?
That's another story. But the problem is...
Wait a minute.
I want to know what that story is. What was your gig over there?
I was a water boy. It's all good.
Water boy? What's that mean?
I was in charge of the water. Everybody had to drink.
Oh, you guys drank water over there?
A lot.
Okay, and what'd you do? Just go fill everyone's canteen?
No. We're shipping, receiving, and stuff. Because, it's bottled water. You can't drink anything out of the...
You didn't desalinate stuff, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Wow, was shipped over there? Everything that's drank?
Yeah, it comes from, Saudi Arabia or something.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, that's a decent gig. It's better than, climbing down some spider hole with a flashlight in your mouth.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
But again, yes, to answer your question, I've had great concerns about the kinds of things that you receive in preparation for this warfare, that there could be things that can cause chronic fatigue, that can cause depression, that can cause various kinds of sexual...
vaccinations and that kind
of thing? Yeah, there's a lot of stuff they get that sort of people have had concerns about.
Well, what about the fact that it doesn't do it in such a great percentage of the people that receive it?
I don't know.
Anything?
Yeah, it does. I mean, that's why they do it, because it rarely happens.
Right. And could it possibly be psychological?
Possibly, but 3 hours. And you can't... how about when you masturbate?
It's not worth it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Now that's a problem.
That's a workout.
Wow. Wow. And
what was it like before?
It's normal, dude.
Like 5 minutes?
I'm good.
20 minutes.
20 minutes. And are you married? Do you have a girlfriend?
A couple.
How often do you get to this, to ejaculate?
How often do I get to that? Well, when I first got back, I figured I'd, a year without sex, be a two-pump chump, had a speech ready and everything, but...
Had a speech ready.
I tried. 3 hours is what it took. If I drink a little, I can cut the time down, but
Now, that's weird.
That sounds more psychological than...
Yeah. Yeah, because...
Are you saying I got issues?
Well, yes, we are saying you have issues.
Talk to us like that, and we're definitely saying
now,
that.
Yeah, we were thinking that, but now we're saying it.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, and Matt just sounds like a J.O.
Yeah.
He sounds like one of these reasons everyone hates guys.
Right, right.
He really shouldn't be driving a rig. He should be selling something.
Right.
But here's the thing. There're male human beings that really don't seem like human beings to me, and Matt's one of them.
Yeah.
They just seem like some conglomeration of every idiot you went to high school with. Matt has got to get himself checked up and checked out.
For sure. Could be some other medical problem.
Yeah, you're a military guy. You have VA stuff, right?
Yeah, but that's...
Well, I don't think we're going to be able to find...
I went and talked to them, and they said just write it out. So
no explanation. No explanation. I don't know why you can say it's going to get better since we don't know what it is.
And I don't know why booze shortens it if it's a physiological thing.
Right, it should make it worse.
All right, booze always just put a couple zeros behind whatever your time is.
Right.
All right.
All right, that's hard to have solid answers, but I would get a more thorough evaluation, first of all, and then secondly, realize that this is possibly something related to some of the things you received over there. And then finally, it wouldn't hurt to look at the psychological aspects of this. It's a possibility.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
This stuff.
Is it a new system?
Nice. We need those guys back up here. We'll at least have to go dinner with them.
Yeah. Go out the carousel.
No, cannot have.
Yeah, that's what happens when you order.
It's goat-based. No, cannot have.
Can't just have
no,
a Pepsi.
No, cannot have. No, cannot have. No! 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 You cannot have! No! No mixing! No! Cannot have! Read menu! No! No! Get fired! No!
It is awesome going out for a little Middle Eastern cuisine. Like I said, the food's good, but the people.
No!
Awesome.
Cannot! No! No! Cannot! No!
I'll tell you, they love saying no.
Indeed.
It's awesome.
No, cannot have. No, 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 cannot have. No, 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 cannot have. No, no, cannot have. No, 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 cannot. No, no, cannot have. No, 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 cannot have.
Truths are awesome. Yeah, they really, Middle Eastern places should just have a sign that say, we don't know the meaning of the word yes. There's the one time I went to Al Wazir's, good Middle Eastern place over there in Hollywood, ordered myself a falafel, realized I had no cash.
All right.
Told me there's a $10 minimum on my Amex card. I told him, well, what's the falafel? It's like $3.59. I'm like, well, just charge me the $10. No. You're misunderstanding what I'm saying. Charge me the $10 and just give me the falafel. No. I think you misunderstand me. I'm telling you, go ahead and take the minimum $10. I'll take the... No, next. It's like, I want to pay you $10 for $3.59 item. No. I swear, as God is my witness, the chick behind me said, pat it out with some baklava.
Yeah, yeah.
She said, go get some baklava. You get $7 worth of baklava.
Why not?
You're home free. Of course, I had to take a stand.
Of course.
I don't want baklava. I want to pay you $10 for the goddamn $3.59.
You should have gone the other way and gone, okay, I don't want any food. I want to give you $10. Go ahead. Here you go. $10.
Well, I did want my sandwich. Eventually, I left with no. I'm one of the few guys who, my batting average at Middle Eastern places are about half the time I take something out. The other half the time I get into an argument and leave. Then there's the other time I went to Zanku Chicken out in Van Nuys. Decide to get the 50-50 with the chicken shawarma and the beef shawarma and the 17-year-old sassy bitch behind the counter with too much eyeshadow wouldn't do. They've been doing it for years. You know, they got that electric knife.
Right, right.
Buzz that nice stacked meat off there.
Yes, yes.
It's the chicken one, $7.99. The beef one, $7.99. What I like, a little wave of the knife on the one, a little wave of the knife on the other. They're 2 foot apart. And I've got it that way 55 times.
No.
She's like, no.
Cannot have.
Cannot. And then she did this one, which I always love. Everyone comes in here, always asks for that. I love any business that announces that all their customers are asking for something, but...
they'll have none of it.
You wouldn't dream of giving it to them.
No.
Yeah. Well, don't let word get out that you're satisfying the customers. And what is that sound, Michelle? It's driving me nuts.
You don't hear it? It's driving us crazy.
What is that?
Somebody's like alarm or something. This happened once before, didn't it?
No, really? Punch something.
Let me look around.
No. Right. Not done. So here's what I did. She was like, no, we can't do that. And I was like, yeah, you can. You do it every time. They're like, no, we never do that. I was like, I've ordered it 1,000 times. And by the way, they're the same price. And I'm not asking for twice as much. They're both $7.99. give me the same amount, but half and half. No, kept going around, and eventually I said, just do it. Just do it. By the way, the only thing worse than getting lip is from a 17-year-old chick who won't do it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I said, look, just go do it, sweetie. What's the big deal? And she's like, I could get fired. And I was like, oh, okay, well, good. Go get your manager. Let me talk to you. Oh, he's not here. I said, how are you going to get fired then? I can't do it. Well, go get your manager. No, he's not around. Who's going to fire you? Oh, I said, listen, F you. I drove from Sepulveda in Burbank Sepulveda Dam.
Yep.
I drove to the one on Hollywood. Zanku one in Hollywood, which is on Western, like Normandy and Sunset. I swear.
Did you get it? You get what you wanted?
I walked right in, and I was like, give me the shawarma and make it half chicken and half beef. He's like, okay.
Did you then announce what had just happened to you?
My whole life is making announcements to people who don't give a rat's ass.
But you did announce it.
I did the. Yes. I was over at the. Yes, next. Let me tell you, it's a hypocrisy. There's a travesty going on. I don't know if you guys know the guys over at the Van Nuys. Who's next? You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's my life is just really making loud announcements to nobody.
Then did they ask you if you wanted a yogurt and goat milk drink?
Yes, it is vinegar and lemon and rancid goat milk. It's very
refreshing.
Very refreshing. It quenches the thirst because you don't want any more. That's not quenched. That's I vomited. It took a half a straw full and I heaved.
Oh, wow.
I'm not quenched. I want something else. Yes. I'll go drink out of the hose. Yeah. It'll be a vacation compared to this crap. Mm. No. Yeah. Oh, when I got to the Hollywood one, and that guy gave me the 50-51. If I wasn't almost out of gas, I would have driven back to the Van Nuys one and strangled that bitch.
Yeah.
Oh. Alex?
Yes. Oh,
what's
Adam.
Up? Corolla.
Corolla.
Is that right?
Yeah.
All right, you're 16, buddy. What's up?
Yeah. Me and my girlfriend have been going out for 8 months now, and she's my first, right? And so we haven't had sex in like 4 months because she was getting tired of coming over here and thinking through my window and trying to keep silent, you know, during sex and all that.
Yeah, well, so, sure wasn't too tall a order.
So we made a commitment to stop having sex for a year until one of us gets our own apartment because she's 17.
All right.
And so you think it's going to be like a year until one of us gets our own apartment?
Okay.
You know?
How about you make a commitment to go bang her by the reservoir or something like normal teenagers?
No, but she likes to do it, you know, like romantic and all that stuff. So,
oh, yeah, your bedroom next to your parents' room, yeah.
Nice. Put a blanket down.
Right. Well, exactly.
Yeah, her.
What's your question?
Hold on a second. Romantic, she crawls through your window, and then you bang her on the fiberglass race car bed you had when you were 9. While your parents sit there and read in the next room. That's romantic?
I don't know, but actually my bed is 45 years old, but whatever. Well, she just got a vibrator.
How old the parents were?
The bed's 45. Old bed.
I thought she said her dad was 40. No. Your bed is 45 years old?
Yeah, it's been used by my mom or something.
Oh, well, man, much your more mom had sex on it. Believe you me.
What's your question, Alex?
Maybe.
So she just got a vibrator. And
maybe the second input.
And it's like a 10-inch long vibrating twirl heading, you know, all that stuff and sound.
Yeah.
Hold on. Alex is a virgin.
Hey, yeah, I was just thinking
Alex
bogus.
Ain't getting laid.
Yeah, that's what I heard, too.
He's a J.O.
Yeah.
He never got his pecker wet.
That's kind of what I was thinking when I first heard it.
No way. You don't sound like that. You just don't. You don't get laid. You don't have a girlfriend that crawls through the window. You don't get any of that. Liar.
No,
virgin.
I'm not liar. I'm serious, man.
No. Well, now I'm really convinced. Please.
Right.
You insult me with your boguosity.
All right. If you think
you got nothing.
You know, I would say if it's bogus because, you know, that's the rule, but I don't know.
Oh, did I hear a smoke detector? Where are you? Don't move.
In your bedroom?
Yeah.
All right, we got to sit here and listen for that.
Are you standing?
No.
Are you near a smoke detector?
No.
Hold on a second.
We'd like to take your word for it, but we've asked many times, and it's turned out they were standing under a smoke detector.
There's no smoke detector in my room.
Is there one in the hall?
Yeah, but it's not on.
It's not on? I kind of believe him. I don't hear it now.
All right. I didn't hear it at the beginning, but I swore I heard it.
I swore I heard it, too, yeah.
I think Anderson's just effing with us. Yeah. All right, here's the point. We don't believe you. That's my point.
All right.
But what is your question?
My question is, like, I only have a 6-inch, you know, dick, and she's, and I'm worried that she won't be satisfied with me when you do that again in, like, a long time from now.
Yeah, well, she's not...
Wait a minute. You're really going to dignify that with the answer?
Yeah.
Let me get this straight. You guys were having tons of sex, but she decided, you guys made an oath not to have any more sex until one of you gets an apartment. So now she got a big twirling 10-inch vibrator, and since you're only 6 inches, a year from now, she could be all yoked out.
No, just disappointed by his lack of prowess.
Well, because she's all yoked out down there. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Alex, it's a very real possibility, my friend.
It happens all the time.
All the time. Happens to me and
bro. Any of your friends. Happens to everybody.
Happens to everyone at least once.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be like humping a salad bowl. Yeah. Yeah, you probably... If it was Operation, when you hump her, the red nose wouldn't light up. You will touch nothing.
All right.
Yeah, okay, buddy. You have to wrap a towel around it to get a little feeling.
All right.
Okay, buddy. How's school going?
It's going good. I got, like, a lot of bad grades last year, but I'm doing good in summer school.
Oh, summer school.
Mm. Ooh, good times.
That is the scarlet letter.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go to summer school. You're a loser. I probably should have gone to summer school, but it's like, no way.
Ugh.
It's got the worst.
You just should have gone to school.
But now I'm glad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, the man didn't imprint himself upon you.
What would have been a waste of time? I wouldn't have done anything anyway, but just sit there and swelter in that cage known as North Hollywood High. There's certain things I'm glad I didn't do. You know, I'm glad I never saved any money. I'm a millionaire now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Literally.
Literally. Yeah. It would have been a pain in the ass to save money back then. Making $250 a week, you know how hard it is to put money away? Mm. Screw it. I'm going to the batting cage. Mm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I'd make money.
Mm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. See? Let's take a break.
Yeah.
And I still had my moral code, which is what drove me from Sepulveda Basin over to Deep Hollywood to get some Zanku chicken.
Nice.
Yeah. All right.
I feel bad not answering Alex's question, but the fact is she's not putting the dildo inside her anyway.
She's not?
No.
All right. Take a quick break. Be right back after this. Awesome. Giving Drew a little lesson on world history during the commercial.
Geopolitical psychology, I think, is really...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Geopolitical psychology. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
Just a quick reminder for our listeners, please check out Discovery Health Channel tonight at midnight. Strictly Sex.
Ooh, that's Drew's show, everybody. Yeah. Awesome show.
Awesome. Awesome. Actually, the program. Good ones start up in a couple of weeks. Anyway,
oh, really?
Check it out tonight.
I saw the one last week. Was great.
Yeah.
So if that's great, I could only imagine.
Oh,
I mean, it's better than great.
Better than great.
Ginormous? That was my rap name. Rob Zombie is, speaking of ginormous, Rob Zombie's coming in here tomorrow night. Haven't been in here in a couple of years, has he?
Seems like it, yeah. A couple of years at least.
He's good people. He was getting his house remodeled last time he was in here, I think. I bet they're still working on the bathroom.
Is it his brother in here?
Well, from Power Man 5000?
Yeah.
He's 3000? 5000?
5000.
No, his brother hasn't been in here in a million years.
I would swear he's been in here sooner than Rob.
Really?
Yeah.
For what?
For Power Man. Like he was in a Acoustic Christmas a few years ago or something.
Well, that was like coming on 6 years ago.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. You ain't no spring chicken.
How dare you?
All right, you ready to rock here, Drew?
How dare you?
Allison?
I say good day.
Good day! The biggest insult you could pay to a man, saying good day loudly. I said good day. Good day to you, sir. Yeah, slap in the face.
Yeah, it's heavy.
Allison?
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Hi.
16? What's up, baby doll?
Well, basically, I started on a Lutera. It's a form of birth control about a month and a half ago.
What's it called?
Lutera.
Lutera. All right.
And I lost my virginity to my boyfriend about 3 or 4 days ago.
Lutera sung Mambo Number 5, by the
way.
Yes. Yeah.
And,
what was his name? Lou Vega.
Hold on a second. When Lou Vega came and did our MTV show about 6 years ago or so, I mean, no bigger one-hit wonder than Lou Vega.
Yes.
A little bit of him. God, that song blew ass.
I like that song.
Well, let me tell you.
I really did.
He gives Mark Anthony a run for his ass-blowing songs.
Yes.
Whatever Mark Anthony's ass blow song is that I can't stand. But anyway, same cut out same cloth. Anyway, at least this one was a peppy, upbeat number. Yeah. But I remember Lou Vega came on the show, and I was sort of like, I wasn't trying to be condescending, but maybe during the commercial I said something to him like, well, it's a pretty exciting ride, you know. Got to make hay while the sun shines or something. And he was like, what do you mean? This thing's going on forever.
Yeah.
I mean, he was, like, confused. Like, what do you mean? I'm a big star. It's never going to end. Lou Vega, everybody. Playing at IHOP near you. Lou Vega. But at least he was nice.
He was a nice guy.
But he was like, hey, I got chicks. I got money. I got jewelry. I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
Save a little of that money, Lou.
That's like, about 6 months.
Why should I? Allison?
Yeah?
You're 16?
So what happened?
When Mambo Number 5 came out, Allison was 9.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Now she's pregnant and strung out on heroin.
Isn't that nice?
No, nothing like that. But right. I was spotting a little bit before I had sex.
Mm-hmm.
And now after I had sex with my boyfriend, the bleeding is a lot heavier, and it's been like this for the past 3 or 4 days.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's probably normal. When was your last pap smear?
Haven't had one.
They put you on the birth control pill without doing a pap smear?
Yeah.
You got to get one.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, sexually active now, that's an important part of your health maintenance.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Women your age get cervical cancer and HPV and that kind of thing, and that has to be screened for. The birth control pills can cause some instability of the lining of the uterus. And when you have sex, it can sort of stimulate bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably just that. But given you've never had a pap smear, it just needs to be checked out just to be sure.
Okay.
All right, Allison.
Thank you.
Okay. Hey, good times. Let's talk to Fernando, 33. Fernando?
Adam.
Corolla.
Hey, what's up, Vicar of Christ?
What's up?
Vicar.
Yeah, I like the Vicar of Christ. What's up, Fernando?
Hey, Adam, why is it? I love you guys, man. You and you are real cool. I've been listening to you guys for a long time, but the thing that gets me is that you're always giving a hard time to Mexican people. Why is that?
I do a little Mexican ball busting. I gotta say that. But I was just on the Middle Easterns a few moments back, and I was making fun of our the brother man with the pimping a couple moments before then.
The point is, he spreads the love around.
You know, I gotta be honest. I'll be honest. I do way too much busting Mexican ass. I must say
balls.
I must say, I've always worked with a ton of Mexicans. And I think I know them better than other cultures. And therefore, it somehow makes it easier for me to bust balls.
You take privilege.
Well, it's a weird thing. Like because I worked in the construction field for a long time. Yeah. I heard a lot of this.
Shut up! Shut up! I said shut up!
See, all right, turn that down. I'm going to kill myself. No offense for now.
Who's saying the shut up?
I have no idea. That was
what?
Anderson.
Anderson.
Oh, that SpongeBob is the devil.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing.
You haven't done that Ranchero music anymore.
Yeah, I know. We haven't done Ace's Mexican Ranchero Countdown. Anderson can't stand it, but I thought it was the best part of the show. I really do. All right, listen. Fernando, you know what? You know, it takes a big man to admit when he's wrong.
Well, no, wait. Oswaldo,
well,
your valet de chambre.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I probably, for a guy who does a lot of ball busting on Mexicans, I probably paid him millions of dollars over the last, 10 years. I work with these guys. I love these guys. And I'm very familiar with the culture. And I think that's what that's what motivates me. And the thing is I don't bust on certain other cultures because I don't work with them. I don't know them that well. There's no brothers in the construction field out here in Southern California. It's all Latino guys. Hmm. So I eat with these guys. I work with these guys. I hang out with these guys, and it opens it up. I think.
And have you ever been to Mexico? How dare you?
I've been to Mexico. I've been to Tijuana 30 times.
Oh, that's right. Okay, that's right.
Are you kidding?
Your home away from
home. Don't look at that as Mexico. No, it's the only Mexico. I've been to Tijuana and yacked in a ice maker. Tijuana. I fell asleep on the beach a bunch of times.
Nice.
We used to go there and camp all the time.
Adam, so it's all in good humor then, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I thought you had something against Mexico. Whoa,
hell
you know?
No.
Because this one thing you kept... You kept on the food, too, and stuff like that?
No, listen, I ate Mexican... you know what I ate for dinner tonight? I'll tell you what I ate for dinner tonight. I ate the flap steak that Oswaldo, my Mexican buddy...
You didn't invite me over for that? I love that
stuff. You missed the barbecue.
Ugh.
Yeah. I ate the...
horchata?
No, I didn't. No. I didn't down it with any horchata, but I ate Mexican food for lunch and for dinner tonight, and it was stuff my Mexican buddy made, so... Hell yeah. They're my brothers. I really need some music. Do a little work on the music.
Shut up! Shut up!
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Well, there you go. I don't know about you, Drew, but that felt fast.
That was fast. We like to have Bobby Brown here.
Yeah.
And the people that brought him.
That's right. Who, Drew?
Diamond Limo.
Diamond Limo. They are the jewel and the crown of the limo industry. That's right. Thanks to Diamond Limo for getting Bobby Brown here. And by the way, no short order making sure Bobby Brown is here.
And his entourage of about 50.
Yeah, and you want to move him around. It's like catching a panda bear in the wild. You got to dart him. You got to bag him. You got to tag him. You got to load him up. Mm-hmm. It's not easy to get him there. So thanks, Bobby Brown. Go see the show, which is Being Bobby Brown, Thursday nights on Bravo, 10 o'clock. Watch Drew's show.
Yeah, right now.
Discovery Health. And until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo. If it was Operation, when you humper, the red nose wouldn't light up. You will touch nothing.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.